advertised the topic of tonight's shiur, Purim. Did that because it's almost Purim and because I wasn't sure exactly what the topic was going to be. But I here's what I wanted to discuss. The packet that you have in front of you is a topic that interested me over the course of the day today. I don't know if it's 45 minutes worth of material. If not, then we'll discuss other Purim-related issues as well. Don't worry, we'll have 45 minutes of Talmud Torah one way or the other. But the issue that was interesting to me was I came across a comment of Shlomo Kluger in the Chachma Shlomo on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, and he writes that when one is listening to Mikra Megillah, while they are being Yotzei the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, they are not being Yotzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that struck me as strange, because after all, Megillah is one of the Sifrei Tanakh, and therefore if one reads the Megillah in any other context other than reading the Megillah, absolutely we'd be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And not only that, the mitzvah that you would most likely compare Mikra Megillah to, meaning where else do we get up in front of a room in a shul and read from a scroll and have everyone listen? Well, we do it all the time in Kriyas HaTorah, and that is definitely a kiyum of Talmud Torah. In fact, the way many of the Acharnim understand the nature of Kriyas HaTorah is that it's meant to be a Talmud Torah Barabim. Rav Soloveitchik had the comment that that's why we have a separate Birchas HaTorah, because when we have Kriyas HaTorah, because although there is a general Birchas HaTorah on the standard type of Talmud Torah that one does throughout the day, whenever we have a requirement to have a different form of Talmud Torah that is required, there's often a separate Birchas HaTorah for that. And the two examples, the two prominent examples that he gives, are Kriyas HaTorah, where we have when the Ola says a special Birchas HaTorah because it's a different form of Talmud Torah Barabim. And the other example is, since we're about Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag, when it comes to the Seder night. The Seder night, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah of darshaning Arami Ovidavi and telling the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's a form of Talmud Torah that takes on very specific requirements on the Seder night, and therefore, how do we start it? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Liyamo Yisrael Baruch Hu, which is a Birchas HaTorah, that you have a Birchas HaTorah when you have a unique form of Talmud Torah. So it was very striking to learn that someone would hold that there is no kiyum whatsoever of Talmud Torah when it comes to Mikra Megillah. So where does this come from? So first we're going to make Rav Shlomo Kluger's case. We're going to make the case that it is not a kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Then we'll try to make the case that it must be a kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And then we'll try to see how to reconcile the sources in both directions. So the truth is, it seems like an open and shut Gemara that Rav Shlomo Kluger is right, that it is not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because Gemara Megillah, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, it's source number one. Va'ashadar Medina Medina Irvir L'drasha Mishpachim Mishpachim Mayasa Am Rav Yosef Rechidin Lahavi Mishpachos Kuhuna Ulevia Shemevatan Avodas Nubon Lishma Mikra Megillah. That the Mishpachos Kohanim and Levim have to be Mevatal the Avoda for Mikra Megillah. Dam Rav Yidam Rav Kohanim Avodasam Levim B'duchanim Yisrael Mamadan Kula mevatan avodasan ubal neshma mikra megillah. A kohen has to be mevatan the avoda, the levim from the duchan, the yisrael, the ma'amadim were just like they would divide the kohanim into 24 groups of mishmaras kuna. They would divide up the yisraelim as well, because the karbanos tzibur are supposed to be brought with the bailim present. Who are the bailim of the karbanos tzibur? The whole tzibur, the klal yisrael. So klal yisrael needs representation, and those were the ma'amados. So we leave the ma'amados for mikra megillah. We leave whatever they're supposed to be doing in the Ma'amados for Mikra Megillah. Tanya Nami Hachi, Kohanim Bavodasan, Uvim Beduchanim, Yisrael Ma'amadan, Kulam Mevatan Avodasan, Vavodan Shema Mikra Megillah. Mikan Samchu Shal Beis Rabbi, Shemevatlin Talmud Torah, Ubayin Lishmo Mikra Megillah. Kavachomer Me'avoda. So from here we learn that we're Mevatal Talmud Torah to go hear the Megillah. It's a Kal V'chomer, that if we're Mevatel, the Avoda to go hear the Megillah, Kal V'chomer, we're going to be Mevatel Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah. Now the details of why that's a Kal and a Chomer, and how that Kal V'chomer works, and the very notion of Osig Mitzvah Patim in a Mitzvah as it applies to other Mitzvahs and as it applies to Talmud Torah, well beyond what we're going to talk about tonight. But just on the simplest, most straightforward level, the Gemara tells us, you're Mevatel Talmud Torah to go hear Megillah. Now, if Megillah itself is a kiyum of Talmud Torah, how can you call it Bittul Torah to go hear the Megillah. I mean, we're saying this is a justified form of Bittul Torah. Just like when you need to go shake your lulav, you're allowed to be Mevatel Talmud Torah. To go shake your lulav, it's Bittul Torah, but it's a justified and encouraged form of Bittul Torah, but it's Bittul Torah. So the very fact that the Gemara calls it Bittul Torah implies that there is no kiyum of Talmud Torah when one reads the Megillah. So that is source number one that seems to indicate that Rav Shlomo Kluger is correct, that there is no mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And this Paskin Lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Taf Resh Pei Zayin, Sif Bei, Shulchan Aruch writes, Mevatlim Talmud Torah Lashma Mikra Megillah, Kal V'chama, L'shar Mitzvah Shal Torah Shekulam Nivchim Nei Mikra Megillah. If we even are Mevatlim Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah, Kal V'chama, we're Mevatlim everything else for Mikra Megillah. Shein l'chadav shenitcha Mikra Megillah mipanav chutz meis mitzvah shein l'kovim. You never skip Megillah. You don't skip Megillah unless there's a meis mitzvah that's in lo kovrim. Now you'll never hear of an Orthodox Jew who doesn't at least make an attempt to hear the Megillah. It doesn't happen. I'm reminded, I once did a question and answer session in a local girls' high school before Pesach. So it was about Pesach things. So the thing with question and answer, I think I mentioned this at the time, the thing with question and answer sessions is everything is determined by the first person to ask a question. If the first person asks a stupid question, every other question is a follow-up on that first stupid question. So the first girl raises her hand, I say yes, and she says, is it an Avera to miss the Seder? So I knew for the next half hour we were going to be talking about the ins and outs of it being an Avera to miss the Seder, or what if you miss this, what if you miss that? So I, after like two questions, I stopped. I said, wait, has anyone here ever actually missed a Seder? And no one raised their hand. So maybe let's shift gears a little bit. Let's not talking about... So missing Mikra Megillah, it's not going to happen. You never miss Mikra Megillah. So the Shulchan Aruch, you only miss Mikra Megillah for a Meis Mitzvah. It doesn't happen all that often. Good. So that's a halacha psuka in Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that the chiddush is that even Talmud Torah, which is shakul keneged kol mitzvos, it's as weighty and as important as all the other mitzvos, but you stop it for Mikra Megillah. Again, implying that Mikra Megillah is not Talmud Torah. Now, is that proof positive that there's absolutely zero kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah when you're hearing the Megillah? Not proof positive, meaning it's certainly the simple reading of the Gemara, but a lot of people have noted that it's very strange to say that, because, like we said, Megillah is one of the Sifrei Tanakh, and therefore it's odd to say that it's Bittul Torah. So some of the Acharim suggest that there are two types of Bittul Torah. There's Bittul Torah where I'm supposed to be learning a three-hour morning Seder in Yeshiva, and I only learn 2.5 hours out of the 3 hours. So the other 30 minutes, I'm not learning Torah. I'm just not learning Torah. What am I doing? I'm playing on my phone, and whatever guys do, whatever they're doing, depending on the yeshiva. Sometimes they're outside, and some yeshivas, Rachman al-Tzan, they're outside smoking. In other yeshivas, they're just schmoozing with their chavrusas, whatever they may be doing. In other yeshivas, they're doing college classwork, or whatever they may be doing. But that's Bittul Torah in the classic sense. But then there's another form of Bittul Torah be'echus, that if a person has the capacity to focus his mind and to learn at a high level, and he chooses instead to take it easy, you know, he's gonna learn something light, something that's not gonna challenge his intellect too much. That is also a form of Bittul Torah. Chaim Vlazhner writes this in Nefesh HaChayim. That is also in Shardal. That's also a form of Bittul Torah. So Mevatlin Talmud Torah LeMikra Megillah might just mean that, you know, normally when we get together to learn, we're learning a little more intensely than the learning that's involved in just listening to the Megillah. That's a very light form of learning. So it's a Bittul Torah in the sense that we're not fully channeling our intellect in the Torah. There's no amelus in that Torah. And then also, Torah without amelus is also Bittul Torah. Rav Amital, Zichrono Livracha, from Gush, used to say that it used to be that in Europe, he remembers that they used to be that a Jew very often would not use his brain in his profession. His profession was pretty much working with his hands. A tailor, a carpenter, a shoemaker, something like that. But in his religion, he'd use his brain. In his religion, he'd maximize the capacity of his brain to be able to study Torah in great depth. And he says that he finds that post-war, you know, he found that the there was like a paradigm shift, you know, in terms of how we use our brain, that many Jews are using their brains very much in their professional lives, you know, doing performing tasks that are very high order mental tasks, and yet in their religious lives are much more involved using their hands, you know, running to do chesed, this and that, but not so much focusing their brain in their religious lives. And, you know, I think his point was that Adrabba, we should be able to do both. We should be able to use our brains, maximize, you know, the brain is what really makes us special, what really makes us different amongst all the creatures, so we should really be able to maximize our brain for Avodas Hashem as well. So good. So there's such a thing as Talmud Torah, as Bittul Torah Be'echos. That might be pshat. So,
yeah. Compared to laning in shul, let's say, over time, that's considered Talmud Torah.
Right.
So is that not the same?
Oh, so that might, that would also be a Bittul Torah Be'echos. But remember, when I say Bittul Torah, I don't mean it in a negative sense over here, because you're supposed to do it, right? You're supposed to stop learning. But if you were, let's say, you're a yeshiva bach who's supposed to be learning a 3-hour Iyun Seder, and in the middle of your Iyun Seder, you decide to take out a Megillah and just read the Pesukim. So that's the bad kind of Bittul Torah Be'echos. I mean, you may be using all your time, but it's a Bittul Torah Be'echos. Or instead of trying to work through a sugya, you just, you know, you take out an art scroll and just quickly read through. So that would be a Bittul Torah Be'echos in terms of one's capacity to achieve. But again, over here, it's a good kind of Bittul Torah because you're supposed to do it. One of the other suggestions that Achronim give to explain this this Gemara is that, oh, of course, when you're listening to Megillah, it's Talmud Torah. Why do we call it Mevatlin Talmud Torah? Because you're in a base medrash and you're learning. Now, where are you going to go for Mikra Megillah? So you're supposed to go to shul for Mikra Megillah. Baravam Hadras Melech, Persume Nisa, certainly the poskim specifically talk generally about the notion of Baravam Hadras Melech, and we're not supposed to split up into a million different places. We're supposed to fill the shuls as much as we can, but specifically when it comes to Mikra Megillah, they talk about this, because by Mikra Megillah there's this additional element of Persume Nisa, so you're going to have to go to shul for Mikra Megillah. You have to, they didn't have in those times where you can just get in your car, and as soon as you turn on your car, your YU Torah app starts playing YU Torah. You're Mevatel Torah as you go to shul, just the halicha itself, the time it takes, that's how the Sri Deish writes. That's what it must mean. Not that you're Mevatel Talmud Torah while you're listening to the Megillah, you're Mevatel the Talmud Torah in order to get to the Mikra Megillah. Okay, that might be a suggestion as well. But again, simple pshat, simple reading of the Gemara is that it's Bittul Torah, that Mikra Megillah is not a Kiyum of Talmud Torah, and that requires explanation. Why wouldn't it be a Kiyum of Talmud Torah? So I told you what Rosh Shlomo Kluger says, that it's not a Kiyum of Talmud Torah, but what I didn't tell you is what his hechrich was, I mean, or what his svara was. What's the svara for it not to be a Kiyum Mitzvah of Talmud Torah if, like we said, after all, it is clearly Torah learning? So the svara is based on a Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tesem Beis Bedape Arif. If you look in source number 8, the Ran is commenting on the Gemara over there, where the Gemara says that a person who's tokeh l'shir yatsa, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's talking about tkiyah shofar. So a person blows shofar for the musical value. I don't know what musical value it has, but maybe some people are so good at their blowing shofar, they can produce exactly the right note. So the musical value of the shofar, a person does it for its musical value, yatsa, he's yotze the mitzvah. But if he's misasik, lo yatsa. Now what does misasik mean? Misasik means he's not really trying to blow the shofar, he's trying to do something else. That even if Tokeh L'Shir is Yotze, when he's really trying to do something else, and he happens to be blowing the shofar while he's trying to do something else, he's not Yotze. And the Rishonim struggle with this. Why would that be the case? You know, there are two possibilities. Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana, and Mitzvos Ein Tzrichos Kavana. If you hold Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana, you need to be trying to do the mitzvah and have Kavana L'Shem Mitzvah. If you hold Mitzvos Ein Tzrichos Kavana, so then you don't need to have Kavana. As long as you're doing the Maisa Mitzvah, it's good enough. There's a Dalet Minim sitting on this table, and you say, hey, can you pass me those Dalet Minim? I pick it up, and I pass it to you. So good, I was Mekayim the Mitzvah without any Kavana whatsoever. If you hold Mitzvos Ein Tzrichos Kavana. But why this split? If I'm Tokeh L'Shir, I'm not having Kavana L'Mitzvah, I'm having Kavana for music. So that's good, that's fine. It's the same Sriches Kavana. But I'm Misasek, I'm trying to do something else, and I blow shofar, trying to teach my kid how to blow. That's the example the Gemara and the Rishonim give. I'm trying to teach my kid how to produce the notes, how to blow shofar. So I'm not trying to do the mitzvah, I'm just trying to teach him how to blow shofar. So that, I'm not Yotze. Well, why not? If mitzvah same Sriches Kavana. So says the Ram in the second line over there in Source number 8, Od Yesh Lomar, Ditokei L'Shir, Kivan She'inu Mechavein L'Shum Mitzvah, Yatza lemadiyam mitzvah sriches kavana. The tokei l'shir thing. I'm trying to produce musical notes. If you hold mitzvah sriches kavana, you're yotze because I have no kavana whatsoever for any mitzvah. All I'm trying to do is make music. Aval b'misasek kivan shekvar hu mechavin lemitzvah dahainu l'chanich esatinokos osa kavana ma'akeves mitzvah acheres shelo tochul. Says the Ran, a very interesting idea. If I am trying to teach my child how to blow shofar, what I'm trying to do is another mitzvah. I'm trying to do the mitzvah of chinuch. Once I have kavana with my action to do mitzvah A, this action can no longer count for mitzvah B. If I'm doing another mitzvah, my kavana is toward another mitzvah, that's as if I'm saying that I'm having kavana not to be yotze shofar. Well, when I'm just blowing the shir, I'm blowing to make musical sounds. So I'm not having kavanah not to be yotzei the mitzvah. I'm just not having kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah. But when I'm having kavanah to do a different mitzvah, then I can't be yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. So says of Shlomo Kluger, based on that run, and this is the comment that he makes. I have it. Yeah, in source number 4 in the Chachma Shlomo, he quotes himself. He says, B'sifri, in my other Sefer, Sefer HaChaim, which is a few big black volumes they sell, Sefer HaChaim, very large, nice Sefer. He says, Kasafti liyashiv kushyas ha'olam. The Chachma Shlomo is just comments on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, and tiny little letters on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, it's brief comments. But so he quotes himself from his bigger Sefer. So he says, in my Sefer HaChaim, I wrote, liyashiv kushyas ha'olam, to answer the kasha that everyone wants to know about. Ma rabusa avid mevatel Talmud Torah. What's the great chiddush that we're mevatel Talmud Torah? Hari Megillah nami avi Torah. Megillah is also Torah. So what's the great chiddush mevatel Talmud Torah from Megillah? V'kasavti liyashev da kavana l'shnei devarim lo mahani. If you're trying to kill two birds with one stone, you're trying to get, you have kavana for two mitzvos with one maisa, it can't work. V'mechavim the Talmud Torah. So if when you're reading Megillah, you're having kavana for Talmud Torah. That is not going to count for the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. V'mechavin the Mikra Megillah, and if your kavanah is for Mikra Megillah, ena mekayim lo Talmud Torah. Then you can't be mekayim Talmud Torah. Meaning it's that run, right? If you're having, you could choose which one you want to have kavanah for, but it can't be both. You don't like it.
No, I mean, so what? When you're laying the Megillah, you can't learn anything from it. I mean, when you come to Megillah on Purim night, so you can't learn anything from it. Then
no, you can. You know what that's called? Prisuminisa, Mikra Megillah. Meaning, what he's assuming is that the yisod of Mikra Megillah is something other than Talmud Torah. Meaning, what Mikra Megillah is meant to accomplish and the Gedera Mitzvah is something other than Talmud Torah. And there are a number of suggestions in Achronim what the Gedera Mitzvah is. Most likely, Prisuminisa. Right, that the idea of Mikra Megillah is Prisuminisa. There are other suggestions as well, one of which is Talmud Torah, right? It could be that the idea of Mikra Megillah is a unique form of Talmud Torah, just like when we lane in Yonah Shel Yom and the Mawadim, so that's Talmud Torah, but this specific piece of Torah is what the curriculum is for today. So you could certainly argue that Mikra Megillah is Talmud Torah, but Rav Shlomo Kluger is assuming that no, Mikra Megillah is Prisuminisa, or something that's not Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is a separate mitzvah. If you have kavanah for one, then the other one doesn't count. Kriyas HaTorah, of course you have Talmud Torah, because that's what Kriyas HaTorah is. It is Talmud Torah. It's a form of Talmud Torah. Now, we have a similar idea that emerges from Beis Yosef in Hilchos Kriya Shema. Beis Yosef, in Simon Mem Zayin, quotes Yerushalmi. You know, if you're supposed to, this is in Hilchos Birchas HaTorah. When you say Birchas HaTorah, you need to say Birchas HaTorah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Good? Yerushalmi writes in the first paragraph of Masechas Brachos, b'di'evid you could be yotzei Birchas HaTorah with Ava Rabba, right? The Birchas Kriya Shema. Says the Yerushalmi, but that's only kishashona alata, when you sit and learn right there on the spot. Meaning you want your Ava Rabba to count for Birchas HaTorah, so then you better learn right after your Ava Rabba, otherwise it's not going to count for Birchas HaTorah. So asks the Beis Yosef, of course you're learning right after your Ava Rabba. Why? He said Kriya Shema. What is Kriya Shema? It's Pesukim in the Torah. So obviously you're learning after Ava Rabba. Well, what's the Havamina that you wouldn't be learning after Ava Rabba? So says the Beis Yosef, Va'od Yeshlomar, he gives one answer, but Va'od Yeshlomar, a second answer, De Kriya Shema Utfila Lo Chashivi Limud Le'inyin Zeh, that Kriya Shema and Tfila don't count as learning in this context, De Divrei Tachnunim Utfila L'chud, V'divrei Talmud Torah L'chud. U'Kriya Shema K'divrei Tfilosu. He says, Kriya Shema is part of davening. It's not part of your learning Seder. So even though the reality is that it might be Psukim of the Torah, not might be, it is comprised of Psukim of the Torah, but you're not doing it B'Torah's Talmud Torah. You're doing it B'Torah's part of your Tfila. And therefore, it's not good. It's not going to justify the Birchas HaTorah, which is not as clearly stated as the Ran, but likely means that since your kavana when you read these psukim is for the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema, so memela you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. May have nafkamina zalacha. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah Maseches Brachos where Rabbeinu Yonah specifically when it comes to Kriyas Shema, the Gemara says, okay, this won't work exactly, but the Mishnah says that if a person reads Kriya Shema after the Zman Kriya Shema, so he's lo hifsid ka adam shakari batora. It's like stop reading Pesukim any other time. So Rabbeinu Yonah is bothered. What's the chiddush? Of course, it's like kari batora. It's like any other time. So Rabbeinu Yonah gives an answer, which is a very important answer in its own right, but maybe one can suggest that the chiddush is that normally Kriya Shema is not a kiddush of Talmud Torah, because you're trying to do it l'shem Kriya Shema. So even though you're saying it as part of your davening, because nebuch, you go to a minyan that doesn't make Zman Kriya Shema, so you're doing it as part of your davening, and you might think, okay, so I'm doing it as part of my davening, so okay, maybe I'm not getting the full mitzvah of Kriya Shema. People feel like they're accomplishing something. So the Mishnah tells you, chiddush, since it's a zero as far as Kriya Shema is concerned, so it gets to be Talmud Torah. That even though in the context looks like a Kriya Shema context, it gets to be Talmud Torah. But when you actually do the real mitzvah of Kriya Shema, then it's not Talmud Torah. I've mentioned in the past, Rav Lichtenstein used to quote Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner used to say that if Yeshiva Bachrim would know, not just Yeshiva Bachrim, Balabatim and people in general, people would know that Rav Huttner's line was if they would know that saying Kriya Shema after the Zman Kriya Shema is like shaking a lulav on Chanukah, you know, and expecting to get the mitzvah, so then maybe they would wake up on time for Zman Kriya Shema. Right? And what if you say Kriya Shema b'zman, but the minyan yadavanat doesn't make it in time, but you say it a little bit earlier? So I would say that would be more like eating matzah on Pesach night, just not during the Seder. Right? So you're mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of matzah, you're just not doing it during the Seder that Chazal instituted that you're supposed to do with it. Right? That would be the comparison. And people wonder, like, why is it that it's like ripping my kishkas out that while we're in our temporary facility, I had to push the regular minion to 9 o'clock in order to make everything work with the early minion, the regular minion. Forget about the people that aren't going to say Kriya Shema at all. I'm not sure we have anyone like that in the shul. I can't imagine. But someone's going to, like every Pesach, they're going to decide, I'm going to eat the matzah, just not in the Seder. I mean, it's that's how sad, how unfortunate that would be. So that's why it hurts a little bit. But someone said to me, someone came over to me and said, I think I mentioned this last week, someone came over to me and said, Rabbi, I've been waiting for the 9 o'clock minion. I'm like, and I've been waiting for you to show up at 9 o'clock for the last... But, okay. The guys who are waiting for the 9 o'clock minion aren't here at 9 o'clock anyway. Okay. So, the Beis Yosef might be saying this exact idea. That if your intention is mitzvah A, then you can't be in fulfillment of mitzvah B. So those are all the rayas to Rav Shlomo Kluger, right? That when you're reading the Megillah, you're not being yotzi Talmud Torah. Why? Because you're intending to read Megillah, you're not intending to fulfill Talmud Torah. Here's the problem. You know, the parallel we gave is Kriya Shema. When you're saying the Pesukim of Kriya Shema, if you're intending on Kriya Shema, you're not Mekayim Talmud Torah. There are Beferish Gemaras against that. Explicit Gemaras. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, in Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara talks about what is the bare minimum requirement of Talmud Torah each day. So it says the Gemara, Afilu Lo Shana Adam, Rabbi Ami says, that afilu lo shana adam el perek echad shachris u perek echad arvis kiyei mitzvos lo yom shtei fratara zemi picha. You just need to learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night. You're mekayim lo yom shtei fratara zemi picha. Omer b'yochem mishum rishum ben yichai afilu lo kara adam ela kriyas shema shachris v'arvis kiyeim lo yomosh. You fulfill lo yom shtei fratara zemi picha by saying kriyas shema shachris v'arvis. The Gemara just adds for good measure, better not tell that to an Amaretz, because then the Amaretz will say, okay, I could do Kriya Shema twice a day, but I'm never going to learn. Rava Amar, mitzvah lo omra b'fnei Amaretz. Rava says, maybe that will convince the Amaretz to say Kriya Shema, so that'll be a start. So a mitzvah to say such a thing to an Amaretz. Okay, whether it's a good public policy to say to an Amaretz or not say to an Amaretz, what is clear in that Gemara is that a person's Mekayim Lo Yomush, which seems to be a pasuk about Talmud Torah through the recitation of Kriya Shema, of regular Kriya Shema, where he's actually doing the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So it doesn't seem to really fit this model that Rav Shlomo Kluger made based on the Ran, that whenever you have intention for one mitzvah, you can't get the other mitzvah. So that's a challenge. There's a Gemara in Nedarim as well. Actually, before we get that, someone asked Rav Chaim Knievsky this question, that isn't this Gemara Menachos of Tzadi Tes against that Ran, or the Ran against that Gemara Menachos? Meaning you see explicitly that you're having in mind for Kriya Shema and you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah also. So Chaim Knievsky says, I don't see anywhere in the Gemara that it says that you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He says, you're Mekayim Lo Yamush. That's not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Lo Yamush is a separate iser that you shouldn't be. He doesn't, Chaim Knievsky answers things in a maximum of 5 words, so he doesn't really like sort of fully elaborate and flesh out, but what he probably means to say is that Lo Yamush is an iser not to separate yourself from Torah, not to be too distant from, I guess, you know, to borrow the Brisker Rav's terminology completely out of context and really killing it, Chefzo Shel Torah, that you just shouldn't be removed from Torah. But it doesn't mean that when you're fulfilling Lo Yamush, when you're not removed from that which is Torah, that you're necessarily being Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Right? It could be that saying Kriya Shema is so you're still connected to that which is Torah, but without being Mekayim your personal mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the Brisker, so Rav Chaim Knievsky wasn't bothered by this kasha at all. But most understand that Gemara to be talking about the bare minimum of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that Lo Yamush is about Talmud Torah. So that's a challenging Gemara. There's another Gemara also, Nedarim Daf Ches, where the Gemara says, Amar Gidol Amrav, Ha'omer Ashkim Ve'eshna Perek Zeh. A guy says, I'm going to learn this Perek. Eshna Masechta Zeh, I'm going to learn this Masechta. Neder Godol Nadar Le'lukei Yisrael. It's a Neder. I V'lo Mushba V'yomidu V'en Shvua Chalal Shvua. But doesn't he have to learn Torah anyway? Because it's a mitzvah in the Torah, so you can't a personal commitment cannot take effect when there's already mushma vomit from Har Sinai. So Gemara says, "My kamashma that feels used beyal mahendra of gidul kamais al kamashma, kiven the bari pater nafshe b'kriyashma shachris v'arvis mishum hachi chayil shvuale." Your mushma va'omid is to learn every day, shachris v'arvis, a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, and how do you do that? Kriya Shema, that's good enough. So there's still room to make a personal Shavuah that I'm going to learn this Masechta or that Masechta. So that's why it's Chal. But again, what do you see from the Gemara? That by Kriya Shema, that's a fulfillment of your regular mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So how can the Ran tell me that when I have in mind that I want to fulfill the mitzvah of Chinuch, I cannot simultaneously be fulfilling the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar with that Maisa? How can the Beis Yosef tell me when I have in mind I want to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, I cannot be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And how can Shlomo Kluver tell me when I'm having in mind I want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah that I cannot be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Right? It seems clear in these Gemaras that you can. So that's the challenge, right? That's where we run into some trouble. So one possibility is that. Well, actually, before we even get to the possibility, L'may naf kamina, meaning, do I have to go to Megillah tomorrow night and the next? Yeah, no matter what, I have to go, right? So, if I'm learning, if I'm not learning, if it doesn't matter. Mevatlin Talmud Torah l'mikra Megillah. So I don't care what I call it. What is Hashem? You know, right? How do you have to live your life? Just one question you have to ask yourself every moment of your life. What does Hashem want me to do right now? Right? And the answer is going to be tomorrow night at a certain point. Go hear the Megillah. So that's it. End of story. The Mayn Afkamina. So it could happen. Afkamina. The Kleisenberger in his Tshuvas and Divrei Yitziv, he points out that nafkamina might be, let's say I wake up a little late on Purim morning, and I know that the Megillah reading that I want to hear, I know there are 1,000 of them, but the one I want to hear, I can still chap right away as soon as I roll out of bed if I run fast to shul. Am I allowed to do that if I haven't heard Birch Sator yet, or I haven't said Birch Sator yet? Can I hear Mikra Megillah without saying Birch Sator? See, if you hold it's a key mitzvah Talmud Torah, say now learn Torah before you say Birch Satorah. But if it's not a mitzvah Talmud Torah, it's just a mitzvah Mikra Megillah. What does Birch Satorah have to do with it? Right? It shouldn't be a problem. I was thinking another possible nafkamina, although it wouldn't work really as a nafkamina, just I was thinking out loud. The halacha is in general that before you have a mitzvah to do, when there's a mitzvah that is incumbent upon you within a certain time frame, you're not allowed to do things that will draw you away from the mitzvah. So like by Bidikas Chametz, for example. So the halacha is, on the night of Bidikas Chametz, you're not allowed to sit down to eat before you've done Bidikas Chametz if it's already nighttime. Right? Because it will, even within Samach, when it's close to nighttime, because it will draw you away. Not just eating, you're not allowed to sit down to a Seder Limud, because sometimes learning will draw you in, you'll get involved in the Sugya, and that's it. You'll miss the Bidikas Chametz. So I was thinking, maybe that would be enough Kamina. Can you read Megillah, if Megillah is Talmud Torah, so then maybe you should have to set alarms to remind you about Matanos Avion and Mishloach Manos and everything else, because otherwise you're going to get caught up in the Megillah. But that's ridiculous, because all these mitzvahs are within the same time frame. So it's hard to imagine that you have to do Mishloach Manos and Matanos Avion first, because Mikra Megillah counts as Talmud Torah, and the Talmud Torah could draw you in. Even if it counts as Talmud Torah, it's a finite Talmud Torah. It's a very, meaning it's not the kind of Talmud Torah that could draw you in, because there's a beginning and there's an end. You know, I sit down, I open up a Gemara, there's no beginning, there's no end. I could learn one daf for 40 minutes exactly, or I could learn one daf for 40 weeks. And you know, there's no, it's not a finite thing. Megillah is, you finish reading it and you're done, and there's even a bracha at the end, like it's over, that's it. So it's they wouldn't have instituted any such concern when it comes to Megillah. In fact, there's even a discussion in the Achronim. I thought this was very interesting. The Achronim discuss, you know, the Mishnah Berurah writes that you're not allowed to eat before Mikra Megillah in the morning. Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to eat at night before Mikra Megillah, and that's clear that at nighttime, before you break your fast, you have to hear Megillah. I just got the shiloh. Someone said he has a young baby at home, so, and they don't have a babysitter, so either he or his wife is going to have to go to a later Mikra Megillah. So can the one who's going to the later Mikra Megillah eat something before the later Mikra Megillah? And the answer is, not a meal, a snack. You could have a snack, but nothing that's going to really be a meal before Mikra Megillah. So Mishmur says, and also in the morning, according to Magen Avraham, I think, also in the morning, you're not allowed to eat before Mikra Megillah. So, assuming aside from the issue of eating before Davin, let's assume you Davin's ready, you're not allowed to eat before Mikra Megillah. So some of the Achronim are bothered. Well, why aren't you normally allowed to eat before doing a mitzvah? Because you can get caught up in the eating, you're not going to do a mitzvah. But over here, on Purim, eating is also a mitzvah. Meaning there's a mitzvah of Sudas Purim, and Mehechi Tesi, that the mitzvah of Sudas Purim necessarily involves any particular foods that you must eat or any way to eat it. There's some discussion in the Achronim about whether you must have meat. Someone asked me that shayla also. Can I have a milch exuda? So probably you should have meat. But still, it's probably a kiyum of mishta v'simcha, any food that you have. So some of the Achronim are bothered. Why can't I eat before the Megillah? I can't do one mitzvah before I do another mitzvah. By definition, I'm going to be doing one mitzvah before another. I can't do them all at the same time. But the answer probably is that the reason you're not allowed to eat before you do a mitzvah is not because eating is a dvar reshus, and the mitzvah is, you know, on Shabbos and Yantif, you're also not allowed to eat before you do the mitzvah. So let's say Yantif, you're not allowed to eat before you take lulav. Not because the eating is a dvar reshus, and Yantif, the eating is also a mitzvah, simchas Yantif. It's because the nature of eating is that it draws you in, and that you might, you know, sometimes you eat a meal and 1, 2, 3, you're done with the meal and it's over. But sometimes you sit down to a meal on a Shabbos afternoon at someone's house or whatever. Next thing you know, it's mincha time and you're still sitting at the table. You don't know where all the time went. How did that happen? That's what happens with food. That's what happens with the meal. It's not about whether the meal's a mitzvah. It's about that's the nature of food. And the same with Lechorah by Mikra Megillah when it comes to Talmud Torah. Even if Mikra Megillah is Talmud Torah, that wouldn't be enough to say that you can't do it before the other mitzvahs, because it's clearly a finite Talmud Torah. But anyway, the Divrei Tziv mentions, perhaps as nafkamina, this idea of Birchas HaTorah. He also discusses, which is an astonishing discussion, which category of Talmud Torah Mikra Megillah would fit into. Meaning, the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, Vishnantam Levnecha, Altik Vishnantam, Ela Vishilashtam. It's an interesting trick that the Gemara pulls, that we can change the word Vishinantam to Vishilashtam, that the way you're supposed to learn Torah is to divide your Torah learning day into three parts. Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. So, if Megillah is Talmud Torah, which Shlish does it go in? Is it Mikra or Mishnah or Talmud? An astonishing discussion to even have. What do you mean, which shlish? It's literally one of the Sifrei Tanakh. So of course it's the shlish b'mikra. Maybe we'll get back to that in a moment. I just want to get to the reconciliation of these sources over here. So how do we reconcile these different sources? So one possibility is Karanara suggests that it's really a machlokas in the Gemara Menachos whether Kriya Shema can count as Talmud Torah. Because remember, we read that Gemara Menachos Sayyid Tessim Beis, and there were two opinions. Rabbi Ami had said, if you're Shona Perek Echad Shachris, Perek Echad Arvis, you fulfill Talmud Torah. And then Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rishon Min Yechai said, even just Kriya Shema Shachris Arvis. And Rabbi Ami held Kriya Shema apparently is not enough. So says the Karen Ora, they're arguing. They're arguing about whether, when you say Kriya Shema, whether you're Mekayim Talmud Torah. So the Ran is perfectly fine. He paskins like Rabbi Ami, that you're not Yotzei Talmud Torah when you read Kriya Shema. And therefore, it could be that you're not Yotzei Talmud Torah when you read Megillah, and you're not Yotzei Tkiya Shofar when you're being Mekayim Chinuch, because of the Ran's idea that when you're, it's just paskin like Rabbi Ami, when you're trying to do one mitzvah, you're not Yotzei the other mitzvah. You'd have to make sure that that's consistent and that works out la halacha, which it doesn't. So that's a challenging one. But that's one possibility. Another possible reconciliation is that nowhere did the Beis Yosef say that if you don't learn right after Ava Rabba, that you were not mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and Kriya Shema. Meaning, what did the Beis Yosef say? Beis Yosef quoted Yerushalmi. That if you say Ava Rabba and you're relying on Ava Rabba being your Birch Satorah, then you better learn something else. So we ask, what do you mean? Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is learning. So the answer to the Beis Yosef, the way we understood it, was Kriya Shema is not learning, because it's Kriya Shema. So it's not Talmud Torah. It's not learning. So you have to learn something else. It could be that Kriya Shema is learning. It is Talmud Torah. But it's not the form of Talmud Torah that they were misaken a Birch Satorah on. Not every time a person is Mekayim Talmud Torah is there necessarily a requirement of Birchas HaTorah. There's a day in the Gemara that Mikra Bayi Bracha, Mishnah V'Talmud Lo Bayi Bracha. That Birchas HaTorah only has to be said on Tanakh. It doesn't have to be said on Mishnah and Talmud. Is there anyone that holds Mishnah and Talmud is not Talmud Torah? Of course it's Talmud Torah. But it could be that the geder of what you have to say a birchas haTorah on, or for example, major discussion in Poskim, does hirhur b'divrei Torah require a birchas haTorah to think and learn? Ksivas divrei Torah, does it require a birchas haTorah? Does anyone hold that if you're sitting in a shir and you're thinking about all the words that are being said, but you're not being proactive and asking questions and speaking, anyone hold that you're not mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Of course, mekayim Talmud Torah. But it may not be the form of Talmud Torah that warrants a Pirchas Torah. So that's what they say from a Steinem and Zichrono Levracha in the Sefer that I bought at Big Eisen, Pninim Yivei Midrasha. I mentioned on Shabbos, I went into Big Eisen and they started pulling like a million Sfarim off the shelves and telling me, you have to buy this, you have to buy this. So I listened, I was a good boy. I bought everything they told me I have to buy. So they said, this is the hottest Sefer in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know another person that owns this, but it's the hottest Sefer in Eretz Yisrael. So it's it happens to be it's very good. The Mir Yeshiva, in honor of the 200-year anniversary of the Mir, with the new Rosh Yeshiva in particular, making a big push to publish 200 Svarim from the Yeshiva, because there are like a million huge Talmidei Chacham learning in Mir and like various corners of the Mir who have like full Svarim written on their laptops or something, but just never published. So they're making a big push to publish 200. So this is one of the 200. It has the Mir logo on the side, a very beautiful thing. But here's what he suggests in this opinion of Beit Midrash. He suggests a third resolution. He says that you can't ask a kasha from Kriya Shema. Both Gemaras that said that you're mekayim one mitzvah, even though you're having kavana for another mitzvah, were both about Kriya Shema, right? The Gemara Menachos that said that you're mekayim mitzvah of Talmud Torah by fulfilling Kriya Shema morning and night. The Gemara in Nedarim, you take a neder to learn a certain mesachta. That's not mushbav omer Sinai because just Kriya Shema is enough. For Talmud Torah, that was both about Kriya Shema. And he suggests that the nature of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema may be Talmud Torah. Meaning, it could be that that's what Kriya Shema is supposed to be. That just like we were talking before, that the geder of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is Prisumi Nisa, that that's what you're supposed to be doing. Kriya Shema could be that you're supposed to learn these parshios every day. That is what Kriya Shema is. And he quotes this from a Keren Orah in the beginning of Brachos, that Al Korach Srichel Meimer, Da'afilu I Kriya Shema Me'atorah Mikol Makom Yotzei Ba'achovas Talmud Torah Mishum Dechiyuva Eina Mitzvah Ve'atzma Kimo Kol HaMitzvos Ma'asiyos. Kriya Shema is not like an independent mitzvah like every other. Elochovas Limudhu Kimo Shneimer V'dibar Tabam. V'dibar Tabam is about Kriya Shema and it's about Talmud Torah. That how are you supposed to be speaking in Torah? By speaking the words of Kriya Shema. So he says, based on that, you understand very well what Rav Shlomo Kluger is saying, that when the whole gedder of the mitzvah is Talmud Torah, then of course you can be mekayim Talmud Torah by doing that other mitzvah. But when the gedder of the mitzvah is something that's not Talmud Torah, like Mikra Megillah, which is not Talmud Torah, then you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah. And based on this, he answers a number of other kashas that Rishonim ask. For example, the Rishonim raise a question. The Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Zayin, tells us that if someone it says if Kosvav Dorsho Magia Im Kivin Libo Yotza and Lo Kivin Libo Yotza, he's writing a Megillah. If he has Kavana, he's Yotze. If not, he's not Yotze. So the Rishonim ask, you know, the Gemara never asks, oh, does this tell you about Mitzvah Srichas Kavana or Ein Srichas Kavana? But the Gemara does ask that when it comes to Kriya Shema in Maseches Brachos. So you suggest, yeah, that's because Kriya Shema is all about the Talmud Torah. Megillah is separate from the Talmud Torah. Okay, we don't have time to really flesh that out right now, but that's the basic idea you suggest. You could make the opposite argument, that Megillah is Talmud Torah and Kriya Shema is not, but that's the argument that we need. Thank you.